Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on Maroon Friday. And it's also Good Friday. That's right. We're going to have a Boneyard Easter top 10 list today. A little different. You know, kind of do it my way. Hope that you are well today. Hope it's a payday for you. Maybe it is for you weekly and biweekly wage earners. Get out and go do some fun things. I hope that you're going to be in Starkville this weekend. Spring game tomorrow, and of course a huge baseball series against Florida. Huge in its gravity as it relates to Mississippi State's season. There's probably the only people watching this thing are going to be us and Florida fans. But nevertheless, we do expect some good crowds this weekend. I hope the best for you and your entire family that that celebrate Easter or Resurrection Sunday, as some observe. But I want to go over a few things you need to know. Our friend Brandon Langua sent out a directive, you know, about kind of what to expect, what to know about the Maroon and White spring game. The first thing that we're going to tell you is there is no broadcast. That is not something that is germane to Mississippi State. Many SEC teams, I think 14 of 16, have elected not to stream or air their spring games. And again, as mentioned on Wednesday's show, I feel like we've lost something. You know, with all this craziness that's going on in college athletics, fan engagement in some respects is a little bit lower. You know, and I read it every day. You know, whether it be on our site at jeanspage.com or on social media, with all the transfer portal stuff, people are like, you know what, I just, you know, I don't get it, you know. I had a visit yesterday, stopped by the spa, had to go by and sign some books at a couple local vendors in advance of your arrival this weekend. So signed copies of the dude all over town. But yeah, just kind of a chance meeting. And I went by the spa to see the bride and a couple floaters in there. I won't mention names. But you need to float this weekend, too. Yeah, it's 662-268-7601, or download the True Rest app, and you can book online. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana, and she can get you taken care of. But one of our regular floaters kind of mentioned, you know, he's like, hey, you know, I've been a music guy most of my life, really kind of getting into sports here in Starkville because it is such a big thing. And we talked a little bit about, you know, the portal. And I said, you know, we've kind of reached a point where you just cheer for the logo. It's like you love Mississippi State. The players change. And I think one of the sad things about all of this is for many of you, and I go back to, I don't know who it was, one of my Facebook friends, their daughter, young daughter, absolutely loved Donald Gray when he was a receiver. And so every game she had to go get her picture made with Donald Gray. And every home game, I could count on it, log on to Facebook, and boom, there's a picture with Donald Gray. And then, of course, a very tearful picture, you know, on senior day. And so I think that's one of the things that we're losing. And I don't like it. Because many of you, all of a sudden, you know, as a freshman that comes in that maybe you identify with, maybe he's from your community, or maybe you just like their game, or you've met them as a person out and about in Starkville, and you got a chance to watch them, you know, show up as a young freshman, maybe they redshirt. And then by the time they leave here, they're a polished player and a person. They're a college graduate. They're a Mississippi State alum. Perhaps they've met their wife or their significant other here. And you've watched them mature from the teenage years to being a young man. And you feel like you were part of that journey. You were there to support them. And now all of a sudden, you don't really get to know people anymore. And so the personal connection between Mississippi State fans, and it's not just us, it's around the country, has been severed. And so you know, people show up and you're like, hey, I'm so glad they chose us, and then they leave, you know, or they get pushed out. That happens too. But it's a rarity these days to see senior day, to see a player that has been here their entire careers. And that's what makes me value people like Luke Work. You know, he's only in his second year here. But, you know, Luke Work grew up wanting to be a Bulldog. It was his dream to be a Bulldog. And, you know, we feel some personal allegiance to him for that. It's great to see young people have the opportunity to pursue their dreams. And so that's one of those things that I think that we've lost. And then the spring game casualty on top of it. It's like the spring game is there. If you want to see it, you got to come, because we've got to take steps to protect our program from poachers. And that's crazy in and of itself, that a university and a conference and a trend nationally changes out of self-preservation. It's like, hey, we got to do what's best for our program. So it's not in our best interest to broadcast the spring game. It's wild, man. It is. And it used to be like a two-hour thing. And so these games kind of drug on. And, you know, we do kind of silly stuff and, you know, to make it entertaining. And now it's going to be about an hour, hour 15. But it's so interesting, you know, how all this has happened. And, yeah, that's just kind of part of the deal. And I don't like it. I don't like it. I think what we are seeing has to change. And I don't just mean all the Nico stuff. I think there has got to be some protection. I'm not saying that people come in here and they're, you know, they're trapped as indentured servants. But I don't know what was wrong, you know, with the model we had before. Yeah, you could transfer out with a one-time exception. I mean, you know, maybe you need to be closer to home because mom's gotten sick, dad's gotten sick. Maybe there's some, you know, some concerns on the personal side. So it made some sense to me. You know, hey, this young man or this young lady needs to go home. Mom's been diagnosed with cancer and they want to be close. Well, yeah, absolutely. Let's sign off on that. Let them transfer. And you know what? Every one of you would have been like, you know what? Hey, I hate to see them go, but I understand. I do. And then if you transfer a second time, you had to sit out for a year. It made sense for me too. You get the one-time transfer exception. And then if you transfer again, and now we got people transferring twice a year. And so there's a lot of fan fatigue. I got a text last night from my baby sister, Reagan, and we discussed that. There's just a lot of fan fatigue because you don't feel the same connection to your teams. And it's not your fault. And that's the misery of the whole thing. But here's what you need to know. According to our esteemed colleague and friend, Brandon Langlois, again, gates are going to open at 11 o'clock. Ball game's going to kick off at noon. It's free, of course, and we encourage all of you to attend. It will be a live scrimmage. You'll see some real 11-on-11 football. It's not going to be a combine or anything like that. It's going to run about an hour. It's going to be a real football game. We're not going to have like one team scores and they get 10 points for a touchdown. The rosters are not going to be split where it's the ones and twos versus the threes and fours. Or ones versus two. That's not going to be. Basically, they're just going to kind of split it up. It won't be a real, you know, formal depth chart in that respect. Seating is only going to be available on the east side of the stadium through sections 16 through 25. Only on the east side. Be aware of that when you show up. So we want you to enter through gates H and L. That's on the east side of the stadium, obviously. And your personal coolers are admitted. So if you want to bring, you know, some snacks and drinks, you can do that. It's going to be basically the same policy we have at Duty Noble Field. You know, so you can't just show up there with, you know, an igloo cooler that'll hold enough for a, you know, family reunion. But same screen protocols as always. Concessions will be available during the spring game. So maybe you don't feel like bringing a cooler, but concession stands will be open for you. You know, it's just part of the deal. Now, if you want to kind of keep up with the radio broadcast, we're going to have some of that, but it'll also be streamed at healthstate.com. So maybe if you can't make it to town and you can't see it, but the official Mississippi State affiliates, those that choose to participate, and certainly through healthstate.com, you can at least listen to that. And Yeah, and I said it was 14 of 16. It's 15 of 16 that are not airing their spring games. Yeah. There will be a presentation, kind of a spring recap that will air on the SEC Network kind of throughout the offseason here. Baseball parking takes priority. And so consider that if you're coming to baseball. Just maybe go ahead and just park, spend the day here with us on campus. But that's kind of part of the deal. So there'll be a lot going on in town, too. You know, we got the Cotton District Arts Festival. And so, and maybe that's an option for you in between football and baseball. If you're able, maybe just go ahead and park for baseball. Come to the spring game, right? And then mosey on down to the Cotton District, and you can maybe get some local cuisine, but also, too, kind of take in the arts festival. A lot of stuff going on down there, music and a lot of stuff you can see. It's a great opportunity to kind of be around Starkville, just kind of enjoy the greatness of Starkville. Also, we need you to come out for baseball. There will be a military appreciation patch given away to the first 500 fans tonight. There's going to be the Mitch Moreland Ring of Honor Baseball giveaway tomorrow night. Limited supplies, obviously. And then following Sunday's game at 2, there's going to be a post-game Easter egg hunt on the field. And you can get photos with the Easter Bunny during the game. Reminds me of a funny story at Cloverleaf Mall years ago. We're out in the mall. My friend Greg Phillips is with us. And there were two... We were in college then, so it'd be creepy otherwise. But nevertheless, we were in, 18, 19 years old, whatever. And there were these two incredibly beautiful girls that were getting their picture made with the Easter Bunny there at Cloverleaf Mall in Hattiesburg. And Greg, the bold Greg, walks up and says, "Hey, I want my picture made with them. You can get that clown in the bunny outfit out of the way. I just want my picture made with them." I don't know what made me think about that. But, the naivety and boldness of youth, right? Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. You can mosey down there after the spring game and get a nice meal. I encourage you to do that. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. You got to have some time to kill between the spring game and baseball game. So go down there and enjoy the Cotton District and enjoy Bulldog Burger Company. Should be good enough weather you can sit outside too. Isn't that great? It's great. Find your favorites. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, let me recommend the Bulldog itself. You can't go wrong ever with the Bulldog Burger. You can't. Now, I like to branch out a little bit. I've got my own favorites. I love the Pimentology add bacon. I like the Mission, but I get the Pico de Gallo on the side. You know, I've got this aversion to uncooked onions. I think people that put onions into potato salad may have to answer for that before the great white throne judgment, but that's just my personal opinion. I think it's in Leviticus, and if not, it should be. But three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, before we jump into our preview of Florida, let's take a quick review of a handful of series that got underway last night in the Southeastern Conference. If I can find my tab here, it's one of those things. Always got something going on, you know. But here we go. The first game of the evening was Ole Miss at South Carolina. Guys, things are not well in Oxford, Mississippi. You know, they played really well last weekend. Give them credit. They did. And you know they had an edge on their shoulder, or chip, pardon me, on their shoulder. Probably got an edge too. But along with some shoulder pads. Remember that was a thing in the 80s? Yeah, not for men. But nevertheless, Ole Miss drops the opener at South Carolina. And Brandon Stone from South Carolina goes the full nine, and he only struck out four. He was very pitch efficient, 86 pitches in the game to go the full nine. A lot of soft contact, a lot of ground ball outs. He's 2-4 on the year. and may be your SEC pitcher of the week. Craziness, man. And, you know, Carolina gets up 1-0. Ole Miss ties it there in the third, and then 2 in the fifth for the Gamecocks to make it a 3-1 game. Ole Miss gets one back in the sixth and gets shut out the final three frames of the game to lose 3-2. And a lot of social media traffic about this game. A lot of people unhappy. You know, they lose the Tuesday morning game to Little Rock. And so Ole Miss now lost 3 in a row. And we talked about that earlier in the week. You know, it would be great if South Carolina could get 1 or 2 to help us a little bit. But, you know, we'll take care of Ole Miss when we get to them. We'll see them for the first time on Tuesday. And, of course, in a couple weeks, we'll have them here. But nevertheless, that's a big loss. That's a big loss. Ole Miss now 27-11 overall and 9-7 in the league. South Carolina improves to 22-17 and 3-13 in the league. We talked about this Georgia-Vanderbilt series, about I didn't think Vandy could get into a shootout and expect to beat Georgia. Well, last night they didn't have to. J.D. Thompson goes 8 innings pitched. J.D. Thompson, you may recall last year, was the pitcher. The weekend before we played Vanderbilt, he got caught using sticky stuff against Florida. Kevin O'Sullivan barked out of the dugout. They went out and inspected him. Lo and behold, he was ejected. And now working, doing some good things for Vanderbilt. Just 3-3 on the year, but picks up the win last night as Vanderbilt beats Georgia 3-1. Georgia gets out to a 1-0 lead. You think, okay, here we go. And then Thompson really settled down and limited them the rest of the way. 14 strikeouts in the game for J.D. Thompson. Georgia may want to check him again. But nevertheless, Slade Alford with the first inning solo shot to kind of get things going, former Diamond Dog there. But, yeah, that's a big win. Of course, we don't play either one of these teams. So I love this like a split. I don't want anybody to get a sweep. Everybody just kind of beat each other up. Give us a chance to kind of, you know, catch them in the pecking order. I think that's important. But, again, this Vanderbilt offense, I think, will ultimately prove to be their undoing. And I don't think you can keep Georgia to just 5 hits very often. Wild game last night, too. Texas A&M and Arkansas. I watched a lot of baseball last night, and it was fun. It really was. Don't get to do that very often. But Texas A&M goes into Fayetteville, and they get game one, 7-4. A&M jumps out to a 1-0 lead, and then Arkansas takes the lead back in the bottom half of the first. A&M with 3 there in the second to make it a 4-2 ball game, and then Arkansas ties it in the bottom of third. And you're thinking this is going to be a very entertaining game. Well, it was, but it ended up turning into a bit of a pitcher's duel the rest of the way. A&M gets 2 in the fifth and really gets a little bit of separation there. It's a 6-4 ball game going to the ninth, and A&M gets a very important insurance run in the ninth. And it just felt like the body language at Arkansas wasn't good. It was very deflating. A&M now red hot, 22-15 and 7-9 in the league. Arkansas drops 33-6 and 12-4. And, you know, the Razorbacks lost a series last weekend to Georgia. So maybe they're kind of coming back to reality just a little bit. A great game last night. The one that I was most excited to see was Texas versus Auburn. And it did not disappoint. Now, Jared Spencer left the game in the third inning. I think he goes 2 1/3. So they pull him. And by that time, it's a 2-0 ball game as Ike Irish hits a home run, and there was a no-doubt shot there. Auburn gets up 2-0. That's the only runs they get in the ball game. Texas gets one back in the third. They tie it in the sixth and then score the winning run in the seventh, and Max Grubbs goes 4.1 innings of relief to improve his record to 6-0 on the year. Did not allow a run. Had 3 Ks, and Ethan Mendoza 2-for-4 in the ballgame with a pretty big RBI early. Oklahoma-Missouri, it went pretty much as you'd expect. And Cade Crossland, you know, guy that we raked, has had back-to-back really good starts for Oklahoma. And so give Skip and those guys a lot of credit for getting him turned around. I thought after we exposed him a little bit, they'd be in trouble. But back-to-back good starts for Cade Cross when he improves his record to 3-2 after a 17-4 victory over Missouri. Now, granted, it's Missouri, but every SEC game counts the same in the standings. Oklahoma now 27-10. Missouri drops to 13-24. They're still 0-16 in the league. And it looked early on like this may be a very competitive game. In fact, in the fourth inning, it was 3-3. And from there, it was pretty much all Sooners. They get 1 in the 5th, 5 in the 6th, 2 in the 7th, and then 6 more in the 8th to complete a mercy ruling of Missouri. And it is going, we talked about it at the beginning of the year, it was going to be a very difficult year for Missouri, and it has been. We expect that to continue. And again, that's a big series for State, a very important series. In many respects, we're kind of counting those 3 wins. It's so tough to sweep, especially on the road. So we don't really need to go in there, you know, needing all 3 of them, but certainly 3 very winnable games at the back end of this regular season slate for your Bulldogs. Alabama jumps out. They were rolling in this ballgame. Rolling. I mean, just doing whatever they wanted to do. They get 1 in the 1st, 1 in the 3rd. It's 2-0. LSU gets a run back in the 3rd, and then it's a 3 spot in the 6th, and it is 5-1. And Brady Neal hits a home run in his return to Baton Rouge. That's Alabama catcher Brady Neal. Didn't do much against Mississippi State. Had the 1 bunt single against the shift. But next thing you know, LSU is kind of right back in this thing. They get 3 in the 6th. The crowd gets reengaged. And then in the 8th, it's Stephen Milan with a 3-run shot to give LSU the lead. And they never look back from there and ultimately win 11-6. Interesting, too, we talked about Zane Adams last week. I told you guys I felt like that was a guy that was beginning to fade a little bit. And some of that, too, is because of the fact guys are taking on more of a workload. They got to push through it. Adams did not have a good start against Auburn. He did not have a good start against Mississippi State. He has been moved back to Sunday. They started Tyler Fay, the kid that started against us on Sunday and worked a couple of innings. They started him last night, and they've moved Riley Quick to Friday. Still the game 2 starter. I suspect they probably keep him there. Cade Snell for Alabama had a couple of home runs in the ballgame. It's a good ballgame and a losing effort. So, but that's how the night went last night, for sure. And, again, you know, we're pulling for the Gamecocks. You know, again, my 2 favorite teams are Mississippi State and whoever's playing Ole Miss. And so this weekend, it's South Carolina. And my buddy John Whittle, too, writes for South Carolina. And I'd like for John to have some fun things to write about. And I think South Carolina's, you know, facing a really long second half of the season. But it'd be great to see them maybe help bring the Rebels back down to earth a little bit.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
So let's take a look at Florida. Gators are 25-14. And so how do they open up? Well, they get Air Force early on, and they sweep them in pretty unceremonious fashion. The Gator pitching staff gives up just 5 runs. The Sunday game proves to be a mercy rule affair at 11-1. They go to Jacksonville and win, and then Dayton comes in, the Flyers, in 3 mercy-ruled games. Yeah, 13-1-7, 11-1-8, 12-2-8. It's always nice when you don't have to cover. When the offense can go out there and get things going for you. Then they had some injuries. You know, Kyle Jones, center fielder, a guy that chose Florida over Mississippi State out of Stetson, played just 4 games, and then shoulder injury proved to be too much. Cade Curlin, second baseman, kind of a similar situation. Just had a shoulder injury that was nagging and just couldn't get over it. It's true. Then they go to Stetson. They win 6-1. They get North Florida 7-6 in a tight one. They get 2 out of 3 from Miami. And what has happened to Miami baseball? Miami used to be a national power, and it just doesn't feel like Miami is Miami anymore. But, the Hurricanes get the series finale, which was the first loss on the year for Florida. I mean, again, you just kind of look at that, and you're like, hey, you know, maybe Florida's back. They went to Omaha last year. They were 11-1 at this point, and then – They go to Central Florida and get beat 13-3. And again, Florida hadn't been great in midweeks under Kevin O'Sullivan. A lot of it, you know, he uses it an opportunity to get some younger guys some work and get guys right for the weekend. And sometimes it didn't work out. But you got to win on weekends, right? People say, well, midweeks don't matter. Well, they do. Tell the Division I Baseball Selection Committee they don't matter because that's what cost Mississippi State the opportunity to host last year. And it's our fault. But they bounce back. They beat a really good Florida Atlantic club, too. And I think Florida Atlantic is one of those teams, too, that you don't really want to see show up. They got a big-time ace on Friday night. And that could be a team that could wreck somebody's regional. So good win there. They win 4-2. Again, the double midweeks are always difficult to navigate, but the Gators get that. Then Harvard comes in, and what do you know? It's three more Mercy Rule weekends. 12-0, 7-0, and then 22-6. Three seven-inning games. Now, part of that is because they had to move the Sunday game to Saturday, so they played a couple of sevens to get the games in. But it wouldn't have mattered, right? This wouldn't have mattered in that final game. But very robust. They go to Florida State, and Florida State's kind of had the better of things the last few years, and the Gators get them 7-2 in Tallahassee. So you're thinking, man, Florida is for real. Despite some injuries, you think they're for real. You know, they lose Coppola, too. That's another guy, too, they expected to be a big part of things. But then they open up SEC play. Huge series in Knoxville at Tennessee. And they get swept. And they get mercy ruled in the middle game, 10-0. So that goes 7. So what's good for the Goose is good for the Gator. The other two games are pretty competitive. But the thing that jumps out about this is just 7 runs on the weekend for the Florida offense. They bounce back at hosting Jacksonville, and they get those guys in 7, 16-4, and then Florida A&M the next night, 14-4. And you're thinking, okay, well, maybe they found the sticks again. Well, you got to go play Georgia. Last year, Florida went to Georgia and took that series to ensure they made Hoover and ultimately made Omaha. It's crazy. Last team in the Hoover field, last team in NCAA tournament field, and they go all the way to Omaha. Kevin O'Sullivan's a good coach, and Florida always has talent, but it seems like the last couple of years they just haven't been able to put everything quite together. They have these stretches where they look unbeatable, and then other stretches where you look like, what's going on here? Well, they get swept by Georgia. And in the finale, in Gainesville, they get beat 15-4 in 7 innings. And again, you look at this, the first game, the Friday night game, very competitive, 8-7. But then 2 runs on Saturday and 4 on Sunday. It's interesting. Well, then they meet Florida State and Jacksonville. They lose that one too, 8-4. And then they head to Oxford. And at the time, playing a red-hot Ole Miss team. And it was a great time for Ole Miss to catch Florida. Ole Miss gets game 1-7-5, and then they win game 1 of a doubleheader, the middle game, 10-9. And then Florida gets the 11-8 win on the finale. So you look there again, 1-2-3-4-5-6, a 6-game losing streak until they beat Ole Miss on the back end of a doubleheader. So again, stacking up losses here in SEC play. Well, they get North Florida 8-4, and then they host Vanderbilt. Can you imagine how miserable it is these days being a Florida baseball fan? Because last year you go to Omaha and you're like, hey, you know what? We're bringing so many pieces back. Yeah, we don't have Caglione, but you know we're going to be good. And you see your team get swept on the weekends over and over and over. Well, that's what happened when Vanderbilt showed up. And that's one of the reasons Vanderbilt has kind of hung in there in the top 25. When you can go get 3 wins on a weekend, people take notice. Vandy shuts them out on Friday, 6-0. They win a pitcher's duel on Saturday, 3-2, and then Vanderbilt 11-3. So another sweep. It's nuts when you think about it, right? And so all of a sudden you look at this thing, hey, man, we're 4 series into this thing, and we've been swept 3 of the 4. Well, they bounce back in Gainesville to beat Florida State the following Tuesday, and then they sweep Missouri. And so we talk about it's streaky. It's not just the team is streaky. The schedule is streaky, right? When you play good teams, you lose. When you play poor teams, you win. And so it makes you feel like Florida's just kind of middle of the road right now. They get Missouri. They didn't mercy roll them in any of these games, but 11-2, and then in two sevens because of the doubleheader, 5-0 and 3-2. So again, not a ton of offense against the Missouri pitching staff that has really struggled to get anybody out. This past Tuesday, they knocked down Stetson 14-4, and now they head to Duty Noble Field for, again, a big series with us. And SEC play has not been great. As we mentioned at the beginning of this segment, 25-14 overall, but 4-11 in the conference. And that's the one win on Sunday, or excuse me, the one win Friday night against Ole Miss in Game 3. And you know that Ole Miss pitching staff doesn't have a ton of depth. So you get that game and you get three against Missouri, the last place team in the league that hadn't beat anybody. So you know, what do you have to really feel good about? Yeah, they've won five games in a row. I was able to get audio of Kevin O'Sullivan's post-game press conference on Tuesday, and you can tell he's very concerned. And he looks at it and he's like, hey, you know, we still believe we can turn this thing around. And what's interesting, 28 games played at home this year. Yeah, they've only played 11 games away from Condren Family Ballpark. They're 4-6 in true road games. So you break that down, you know, what is that? Yeah. It's 2 out of 3, right? They're losing those series. And so the flip side of it is I guess the math isn't exactly correct. But then they also have the one neutral side game they lost against Florida State. So in games away from their ballpark, they're 4-7. I think that bodes well for us. They hadn't been a great road team. But they're, and it's like Lamontas has got to say all the right things. Well, you know, I think they're kind of figuring some things out. And, you know, they may come in here and it's absolutely embarrass us. Who knows? That's how baseball works. But it has been in a very eventful season for them and really not in a very positive variety. All right, Colby Shelton leads the team in hitting at 370. And this is an offense that's been very, very streaky. Junior infielder, guy that we played against last year, 370, leads team in several offensive statistical categories, mainly in hits, 57. He got six tanks on a year and 30 RBI, runs the bases a little bit. And they have run him some, but they haven't been nearly as successful. Now, the leadoff hitter, Bobby Bozer, hit three home runs against Stetson on Tuesday. He leads team in 11 of 12 stolen base attempts. Keep him off the bases. Keep him in the ballpark. You got a really good chance to win this series. Transferred in from South Florida, playing third base for him. Leads them with 14 tanks on the year, 42 RBI. Both of those are club highs. He's been walked 17 times, but also plunked 9 times, which is interesting. He's also struck out a team high 45 times, and that's where I think Justin Parker can kind of go to work here. You know, keep him off the base pass, keep him in the ballpark. Things look good. Birdie Dene is hitting 327. He's a guy that has started about 31 games for him, got 9 tanks on the year. And I look at these strikeout numbers. It's a little bit interesting. You know, 292 strikeouts for Florida seems to be kind of a bit high, you know, in my estimation. I think they should be better. You know, Blake Sear is a guy that a lot of people were super excited about, you know, when he transferred into Florida. He's hitting 286, got 7 tanks. But when we make the flip over to conference numbers, now granted, you know, they've only played 15 conference games, but that's about half, right? So what are they doing against SEC pitching? Well, they've allowed 26 tanks and they've hit 17. They've allowed 107 RBI, they have 65. They've struck out 131 times. Yeah. Now, they've had a lot of strikeouts, too. Pitching staff's got 141. But that's a lot of strikeouts. Stolen bases, 15-23. Bozer is still 4-5. And Hayden Yost has got 2-4-4. So, they've been running a little bit more. But as a team, they're hitting 255 in SEC play. Luke Heyman leads them against league pitching with a 370 average, and he's played in all 15 games. We mentioned Colby Shelton hitting 350. And there's Bobby Bozer hitting 322. Outside of that, they only have one other hitter hitting above 250. Blake Sear, and there were some people too. It's so incredible to me. There are a lot of people out there that have A lot of opinions, but not a lot of facts. People are like, oh, we got to go get this Blake Sear guy. Guys, he's hitting 217 against SEC pitching. 217. Struck out a dozen times in 46 at-bats. Not great. Hayden Yost hitting 214. You know, and so you run all the way through this, and you can see that there hadn't been a lot of good things. Now, Ty Evans, a guy that's been banged up some, didn't play last weekend. Not sure if he's going to play this weekend. Hitting .182. You know, so again, it hasn't been great. Now, let's flip over to the pitching side of things. We'll look at the overall numbers first. And there's some things, again, that kind of jump out. Everybody's numbers change in SEC play. That's not germane to Florida. But pitching hadn't been great. Now, Aiden King is a freshman that's kind of worked his way into the rotation. He's going to be their game two starter. Watched two of his starts earlier this week. You know, freshman out of Bishop John Snyder there in Jacksonville, 6'2", 195. Kind of the typical Florida guy. I mean, just a, you know, big-bodied guy that relies on the fastball and can throw the slider for a swing and miss. He right now is the leading pitcher when it comes to of the regulars in ERAs. 4-1 with a 2.68 ERA, and again, we'll see him on Saturday. But 40 and a third innings pitched. Now, the reason that I think that is significant is because you also have Liam Peterson, who's tonight's starter, that's had more starts, 8, but thrown less innings, 39.2. And it's just a couple, but Liam Peterson's not a guy that works deep in the ballgames. So you have the ability to get into that bullpen on Friday night. Frank Menendez was a guy, a left-handed reliever they liked an awful lot. He's done for the year. ERA of 1.29. Pierce Coppola was a guy they expected to be a weekend starter for them. Hasn't pitched since the third week of the season. He had an ERA of 1.42, WHIP of 0.63. That is getting it done right there. But 12 and two-thirds of an innings pitched, and it appears that he's done for a while. Batting average against, 0.098. When you lose a weekend starter of that caliber, and granted, that's not against SEC pitching, that is a significant loss. It truly is. You know, Jay Clemente is a guy that's been banged up for him, too, though he's pitched a little bit more. Alex Philpott pitched some in relief. But the bullpen itself has not been great, and they haven't really settled on a closer. They've moved a few guys around. Billy Barlow is a guy that's pitched some. You know, Philpott's kind of been the closer in the midweek. We mentioned Jay Clemente. Luke McNeely is a guy, too, that we faced him last year. But there's not a lot you look at and say, hey, this is a typical Florida pitching staff. And injuries are a big part of that. They are. Kevin O'Sullivan's a great pitching coach, great recruiter. But when you got guys get banged up, it doesn't matter how good a coach you are when you're having to coach guys that maybe just aren't quite ready. They have an ERA of 5.28 as a staff. Now, let's flip over here to SEC play, because there's some things that are going to jump out to you. We talked about Luke McNeely. You know, he's 1-1 with the one start there. 16 innings pitched and 6 appearances. Aiden King, mentioned him, 24 innings in SEC play. 5 SEC starts, he's got 24 innings. Liam Peterson has 4 SEC starts. He missed a start against Georgia. Had a rough outing against Tennessee, misses Georgia, comes back, had a rough outing against Ole Miss, allowed 5 earned runs on 7 hits. And in the last 2 weeks, he's been better. But he's walked a lot of, he's walked 9 hitters in 10.1 innings the last 2 weeks, and now, you played against 2 of the worst offenses in the Southeastern Conference. And so are you getting better, or is just the competition getting worse? I think that's an aspect of this you got to really consider here. Is, you know, we beat him last year in the Saturday game. So he pitched against Vanderbilt, got the loss because they didn't score. They got beat 6-0. And then he pitched against Missouri and got the win. But 2 of the worst offenses in the conference aren't really going to tax you. And Ole Miss has had some up and down with their offense, but the Tennessee offense is good. I think we can all agree, right? So he struggled against Tennessee, struggled against Ole Miss, and then all of a sudden it's kind of bounced back against some teams that really struggle to swing the bat. In the 4 SEC starts, 18.2 innings pitched, so not even 5 innings per. So good chance to get into that bullpen. ERA in league play, 6.75 with a 1-2 record. And the win came last week against Missouri, the last place team. And so, but the thing about Peterson, he profiles as a pro. 6'5", 220, he has really good stuff, but control has been an issue. And when he can't really elevate the fastball, teams have been able to elevate him. Batting average against of 307 in SEC play. That's more about who you are right now. I mean, you're not pitching against Harvard anymore or Bradley. You know, these are real hitters. And these are real complaints, and when I write them down, they become true. Some of you will know the reference. Aidan King, again, we mentioned he has been better, but ERA of 4.13, batting average against 244. Batting average as a staff is 288 against. The ERA, and this will blow your mind, 8.12 as a staff. 8.12. And there is not a single pitcher on this staff that has an ERA under 4 other than Luke McNeely, the reliever at 386. So I don't know what to expect from this Florida team from a pitching standpoint. They need Peterson to be effective early. It's one of those things, too, you begin to consider. If we're able to touch him up a little bit early and get in that bullpen that has been taxed big time, then you kind of begin to wonder. You know, we should have won the series down there last year. I'm sure that Parker will have a great game plan against these hitters, and there's no Caglione you got to consider yourself with. But, yeah, I expect to take the series. I expect State to take it. Would love to get the sweep, but you just can't count on that. Man, if we could, though, it makes life so much easier around Starkville for everybody involved. But I think at the bare minimum, we get 2 out of 3. I think if we get tonight, I think you can feel really good. If you find a way to win tomorrow and you're 2-0 with what they have left, they're TBA in it on Sunday. You know, we know what we're going to do, and we've been really good the last couple Sundays. I think if State gets the first two, I think you can feel pretty confident that we'll be able to get a sweep. But you never know. Carson Ligon could have a meltdown. I don't mean to point him out. He's been really good as of late. But you know, we talked about the schedule kind of easing it up a little bit for us, and it is. But you have to take advantage. You simply have to take advantage. All right, it's time for our player to watch this weekend, brought to you by Close with Blair at 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Listen, it's one of those hacks in life. They don't tell you about it when you're a young person. When you get into adulthood and you get ready to plant some roots and buy a home somewhere, it's tough to find the right mortgage loan originator. Well, I can save you the trouble. It's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. 24 years of experience in this industry. Nobody stays in any industry 20-plus years by accident. Blair gets things done. Take the guesswork out of it. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair is the name to know. He is a bulldog through and through. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair. You could too. Whether it be a refinance, a cash out, or just a straight-ahead home purchase, Blair is the name to know. Absolutely incredible. Incredible customer service. I had so many people that have listened to our show and closed loans with Blair and said, Steve, thanks so much for recommending Blair. We had a great experience. And you will too. Professionalism, always guaranteed at closewithblair.com. Okay, our player to watch is going to be left-handed hitting Hunter Hines. And here is why I say that. Number one, he's a left-handed power hitter. They're going to start two right-handers that we know of, guys that are very reliant on the fastball. I think Hunter is going to get some balls to hit. He has done a good job for us as of late. You know, the calls to take him out of the lineup have stopped. And I think it's a big weekend. And as we mentioned, he is now, ninth behind Will Clark in RBI, career RBI, just one RBI behind Will Clark. And he's second with 62 home runs. He's now chasing only Rafael Palmeiro. I think he could get a couple this weekend. I do. Last week we picked Bryce Chance, and Bryce kind of had a tough weekend. So I think you're going to see Bryce do some good things too. Because I think Bryce is a guy that can work the other way. But I think Hunter Hines is a guy that is going to get a couple of pitchers that are probably going to have to give him fastballs. Control has been a bit of an issue, especially with Peterson here as of late. And he is a guy that is very reliant. You can read more about Liam Peterson over at jeanspage.com today if you're a VIP member. And if you're not, you should be. You can take advantage of our 50% off the annual subscription rate for just a few more days. Be sure and check that out. You'll be glad you did. But again, Hunter Hines, your player to watch this weekend. Okay, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars. Important to know, right? Kalido Guitars, a Mississippi State owned and operated company. One of the things that I always think about is I want to keep business in the family. I'm sure you do as well. And if you're not a person that thinks in those terms, perhaps you should. I think we should support each other. I think that's a very important aspect of things. I think every one of you should consider that aspect of it, is let's support each other. Now, they're going to make things easy on you. They're going to give you some incentive, right? High-quality instruments, exemplary customer service, expert advice, and it's not just a guitar shop. You know, it's you can get gig bags, you can get cases there, and there's something about having that guitar case that just makes you feel and look cool. It just kind of works. Maybe consider that as a gift for your player. Father's Day's coming up, too. Maybe consider that aspect of it when you're making your Father's Day purchase. Maybe it's time to get Dad a new axe so he can shred some faces. You know how things work. And so I share that with you because there's a promo code when you call or shop online at Kalido Guitars, and I'd encourage you to do that too. Do a little window shopping. And I understand that they've had a lot more frequency thanks to you guys going by and just checking it out, but it's time to kind of take the plunge. Now, when you order a guitar or anything from Kalido Guitars out of Lake Jackson, Texas, they're going to give you 10% off by using promo code BSR. They're also going to give you free shipping and no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. In addition to that, a portion of your purchase price will be donated to the Bulldog Excellence / Bulldog Initiative to help ensure Mississippi State fields competitive sports teams in all sports. So not only are you getting a high-quality instrument at a discounted rate, you're helping Mississippi State. Be sure and check them out today. It's Kalido Guitars, C-A-L-I-D-O, guitars.com. Okay, it's a Boneyard Easter. We're going to do it a little bit different. And the first thing I'm going to say, we mean no disrespect to anybody, right? I love all of you. It makes no difference to me. What you believe or choose not to believe, completely up to you. But we're going to do some secular songs that kind of remind me of Easter in some respect. Top 10, right? So understand. And so I think it's also important to understand, too, that we may not have it all right. But I firmly believe that life is a lot easier when you believe in a power greater than yourself. And I was raised in a church, as many of you were. Got estranged from the church and estranged from a spiritual relationship until I got into recovery. And for a long time, I wasn't ready to return to my religious roots. But I do have a daily relationship, and I would encourage you as well to pursue one. There are a lot of people out there that believe nothing happens after we die. And I think that requires more faith than anything else. My personal opinion, but again, I don't mean to offend. But here are the top 10 Boneyard Easter songs for this year. Number 10, it's Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky. We actually play this at Duty Noble from time to time. Norman is a guy of Jewish faith and felt like that he could have a hit by writing this song. It turns out he was a bit of a one-hit wonder. But I do believe it's one of those things, too, where you have to believe in something greater than yourself because not all this stuff happened by accident. Number 9, and there's a story behind this song. Lacey Sturm was the lead singer for the great band Flyleaf, and a lot of people did not know that she was a believer. And their lyrical content kind of reflects that, but it's written more in a secular way. They weren't necessarily a Christian rock band. And I assume they're still out playing these days. You know, Josh Sturm, her husband, guitar player. But nevertheless, Lacey does an incredible job vocally, but it was a great track that came out called All Around Me. And it was everywhere. You know, I Can Feel You All Around Me. Talks about her heart healing and things of that nature. And I read a comment one day online. It was really sad to me. It was really sad. It was a young lady that she said, I had to stop listening to this song when I heard that it was about God. And it just absolutely breaks my heart that somebody would feel that way. Number one, if there is a song out there that enriches you, I would say keep listening to it. No matter your religious beliefs, right? If there's something out there that has value to your life and makes that you feel better about your existence, I think that's a good thing. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, right? But nevertheless, the song is a secular rock song, but it has some religious connotations to it. And again, it just kind of breaks me up a little bit to think that somebody's like, oh, I don't want anything to do with God, so I'm not going to listen to this song that I love. And I hope wherever that young lady is that she has found a sense of peace. Number eight, a band also too that was widely criticized early on for people were like, oh, they're just a Christian band. Like that should be a negative thing. You know, I remember Paul Stanley saying, you know, of how important it is to have a code. Is why is going to the club more important than, you know, having, you know, religious code for living or something like that? You know, those things are important. Paul Stanley being the voice of reason. But, you know, Creed obviously was very criticized. And I think Scott Stapp, in some respects, kind of wilted under the weight of all of that. Next thing you know, he's in some adult films and things like that. It's wild. And now, you know, Scott's back to being Scott. And he's very open about his beliefs. He wrote a great song called My Sacrifice that I think is phenomenal. I think it's one of the best songs in the Creed catalog. And he extensively has written about that. It's about his relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think that is an important aspect of it, too. And there are a lot of these songs, too, that it's got beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right? And there are some songs that an author or writer could compose that means something to them that may mean something different to you. And I think there's value in that, too. But I think it's also interesting to know, you know, the history and the origin of that. Now, this is going to be a bit of a surprise that you would think, why would we have a song by Black Sabbath on the Easter list? Well, we do. And there's a story behind it. It's a track called After Forever. And you may not be familiar with it, but there are a lot of people, a lot of experts believe that this was basically the first Christian metal song from Black Sabbath. Geezer Butler wrote the track, and it's basically that they were getting all this criticism, you know, for being too dark. And, you know, there was just a lot of that went with it. And a lot of people were like, you know what, this is not good. You know, this band could be evil. And so in 1971, on the Masters of Reality album, there is this song. And I think it's a very interesting one because I'm going to read you some of the lyrics too. And again, there's a lot of public persona. There's a lot of people, again, we talk about they play something online. There's a lot of these, you know, internet gangsters. And I don't mean that in the literal sense, but there's a lot of people out there that are a whole lot tougher online than they are in person. But the opening line of the song is, have you ever thought about your soul? Can it be saved? Or perhaps you think that when you're dead, you just stay in your grave. Is God just a thought within your head, or is he a part of you? Is Christ just a name that you read in a book when you were in school? And then a little bit later it says, could it be you're afraid of what your friends might say if they knew that you believe in God above? They should realize before they criticize that God is the only way to love. That's Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath. And so I think it's interesting that I understand that a lot of performers and entertainers are playing characters. And it's not always necessarily who they are. And Geezer Butler, this was his kind of response to some of the criticism about Black Sabbath. They were out there pursuing their art. And they got criticized for this song, too, because people were like, hey, this doesn't match up with my narrative of what I think the band should be. Kind of like the girl that didn't like All Around Me because it was about God. But nevertheless, there we go. All right, number six, we talk about Rolling Away the Stone. How about Paul Simon's Loves Me Like a Rock? You know, when I was a little boy and the devil came to me, you know, great song. Love the harmonies on this thing too. I love the backing vocals on this, but Paul Simon, not exactly one of my favorites. It's a little bit lighter than my taste often afford, but this is one to me that kind of fits our motif today, and it's a great song too. It's a happy song. Number five, a song that is written basically on behalf of Jesus Christ himself. And it's a song that you guys know well. It's a song that many of you from my generation, you love. And you remember that great video they had on MTV, and everybody's like, and Lenny's out there with that fabulous red outfit on. It's Lenny Kravitz, Are You Gonna Go My Way? And if you go back and look at the lyrical content of this song, it is unmistakable. Absolutely unmistakable. It's nuts, man. It's absolutely nuts. I'm going to read you a couple of them because I think it's important. Because sometimes, you know, it's just like, you know, you sing some songs and you think you know. But, you know, the opening verse of this song is, I was born long ago. I am the chosen. I'm the one. I have come to save the day, and I won't leave until I'm done. So that's why you've got to try. You got to breathe and have some fun. Though I'm not paid, I'll play this game, and I won't stop until I'm done. And at the end of it, of course, he goes, but what I really want to know is, are you going to go my way? And Lenny is another guy, too, that has been very open about his faith. And I don't judge people for that kind of stuff, just because of the fact I never know. I can never, ever, ever, I will never profess to know what is in another person's heart. But I know that Lenny Kravitz has done a lot of good with his life and with his money. None of us are perfect. But I find that very interesting. If you are into Lenny at all, you know these things. And I think he's one of the coolest guys to ever walk the face of the planet. All right, number four. Not necessarily about the resurrection, but about resurrection. It's Johnny Cash's Ain't No Grave. Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold Me Down. That's kind of what it's talked about. What it's talking about. You know, it's really talking about the rapture in some respects. But I think it's an important one. Of course, Johnny Cash, a guy that you know, has some connections to Starkville. But he makes our list today. All right, number three. One of the greatest things that I've ever heard about all of this is that the resurrection was the end of the beginning. And I began to think about that, you know, in more literal terms. You know, the end of the beginning. It's like everything changed. You know, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in many respects. And one of my favorite albums was written by a contemporary Christian band, though many people did not know that they were a Christian band. They chose to hide that for a while. They're very open about it now. A band that I absolutely love is called A Thousand Foot Crutch. It's a title track. The end is where we begin. And so it kind of fits that same line of thought. And if you don't know that album, you should get to know that album. And then number one, there's a lot of hits on that album, but also too, it's just solid from start to finish. It's not one of those albums where I hear a couple songs that I know that I can skip. Now, this is one of those albums that takes you on a journey, and it's absolutely fabulous. Number two, a guy that's been in the news here as of late and you know, had an on-stage altercation with Dave Navarro. Many of you know him as the host of Ink Master. Our former host of Ink Master. Of course, Dave spent some time with the Red Hot Chili Peppers and when he was still in the midst of addiction himself. But it's Jane's Addiction, 3 Days. The song doesn't necessarily reflect, you know, the 3 days in the tomb. But it kind of fits what we're talking about today. And this is, when I really got into Jane's Addiction, this is one of the songs that really spoke to me. It's about 10 minutes in length, I think. It's a very, very lengthy song, and it takes you on this very wild journey. But number one, and I shared on my Facebook every year on this day, even though the date changes sometimes, it's the Black Crowes Good Friday. Because I will not forget you, nor will I accept the blame. Right? I love that song. I think it's one of the best Black Crowes songs of all time. I love the harmonica part. I know you guys do too. And that was one of the songs that kind of convinced me to pick up the harmonica years ago. And I don't play it much anymore, but I enjoyed playing that. It's not a real complicated part, but I just love the way they used the harmonica is part of the composition of the song. So that's your top 10 list for today, a Boneyard Easter. And I hope that you, those of you that observe, I hope that you have a great Easter or Resurrection Sunday weekend, no matter what you choose to call it. And there are other people out there that are like, you know what, Steve, I don't hold a religious belief. I'm just going to go hunt some eggs with my kids and we'll do Easter baskets. And you know what? I love you all just the same. But I would encourage you at some point to do some real soul searching. And don't just lead an accidental life, you know, thinking that there's not something in the end. I firmly believe that. You know, I firmly believe that this is only part of our existence. And I typically don't get political or religious on the show, but I wanted to share some of those thoughts today with you all. And I love each and every one of you, and I hope that you and everybody you love is free from harm these days. I don't know how many of these we're going to get. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like you think about that, and I get caught up in that sometimes too. It's like day to day, you get caught up in the grind. Okay, what do I need to do today? When I wake up in the morning, I feel completely content deprived. I do. No matter what, how many things I did yesterday, no matter how many stories I wrote or how much work I did on a book project or how much work I did around this house, I wake up every single day feeling content deprived, that I've got to do more today to prove myself. And it's also just to satisfy myself. You know, when I don't write, like I take a day off, my mind begins to kind of go off track a little bit. It becomes almost torturous. And there are some times that I'll be riding down the road and I have to pull over and put something on my phone, you know, put it in my notes or text it to myself, you know, so I can allow my mind to kind of index and move to the next thing. But I wake up every single day feeling like I've accomplished nothing with the day. And so I guess in some respects you would say I'm a workaholic because, number one, I enjoy the work. I don't feel like I'm a slave to the grind by any stretch of the imagination. I love what we do. As a matter of fact, I think we had 7 stories up the day before lunch, you know, and we think you owe that. We think we owe that to you. We think you deserve to have our best effort. And fortunately, I've been able to kind of surround myself with some like-minded people that enjoy the work that we do over at jeanspage.com. But I don't know where you are in your life or what you're dealing with. But one of the things that I can tell you is that many of the things that we worry ourselves with are of the temporary variety. Now, if we continue to pick at them, then they linger. You know, I don't know if you guys know much about Marcus Aurelius. And if you don't, you probably should. He didn't write a book, but he wrote some things to himself. They were basically just kind of notes to himself. And it ended up being a book called Meditations. And it's a lot of things that he observed about life. And one of them was kind of like, as a man thinks, as does he act. And I think about the negativity that has occurred in my own life from time to time. When I want to feel sorry for myself and I want to go wallow in the misery of something, I can find something that fuels that, right? But if I begin to think about, well, you know, well that's over. You know, I don't have to continue to live in that space. I can move forward with my life. And I think that's an important aspect. As we can kind of control our thoughts at times, there are some things that, you know, kind of weigh on us. But I have found that if I go get busy and work on something else, get out of the house, stop feeling sorry for myself, that I can be a productive person and I can put it behind me. But one of the things that I have learned in the social media age is there are a lot of people that becomes their engagement. Rather than the things they have done or the things they are doing or the things that they're enjoying, they want to talk about the things that hold them back. And I'm a firm believer in killing all that holds you. I firmly believe that. And I think you're in charge of it for the most part. And there are some things that happen in life that are difficult to get over. And there are things that you never get over. You just get on with it. But I think it's important to understand that there are a lot of people out there, the only way they can get engagement is I got to go out there with this woe is me stuff. I'm just really struggling, you know. And, you know, listen, I'm a firm believer in kind of reaching out to people when you're in those spots. And I have seen some people, and this is in no way to praise me, I have seen some people over the years that have posted some things on there that have been very unsettling. I have seen some people that have posted some things out there about killing themselves. And I always feel a responsibility to act. Sometimes they respond, other times they don't. And I've always felt like that, hey, if they don't respond to me, I hope they responded to somebody else. I don't need to wear the White Knight costume. But I'm also not going to let those things go unanswered. But there are some people that I have found that it is a repetitive cycle. All of a sudden, you know, things maybe aren't going the way they want. Maybe they're not getting enough attention. And we got to jump out here. We got to let everybody know, oh, I'm miserable. You know what? Let me tell you this. Sometimes life sucks. For all of us. And one of the great things that I've read in recent years that I've kind of filed away in my memory, and I remind myself of this from time to time, is comparison is the thief of joy. Right? And there's truth in that. So when I start thinking about my life compared to somebody else's life, then more times than not, that's going to be, you know, lead me down a negative path. And so I do not covet the things that I don't have. And yeah, I'll share some things with you. I shared this with some people, you know, so I guess several times over the last few years, but never maybe publicly with you all. You know, back in 2019, we were very, very close to a movie deal for Flim Flam. We were close. And it was exciting, but I didn't want to talk about it because I didn't want to jinx it. I said, until we sign a contract, I'm not going to talk about it here on the show. I remember sitting in this very chair, uttering those same words to you. We were very close on a movie deal. And just when it looked like things were going to happen, COVID hit. And then everything in Hollywood shut down. And then all of a sudden there was a backlog of content. And so things went away. And it was disappointing. But it didn't cripple me. But it was disappointing. So then in 2022, when I was having a very difficult year, all of a sudden it comes back around. And they're like, hey, we're interested in doing this project. And I had several conference calls and Zoom calls and spoke to screenplay writers. And again, it's right around the holidays. And they're like, hey, we're going to get back with you guys after the first of the year. And we feel pretty confident we're going to do this project. And I remember one of the ladies that was going to be writing, you know, cried during the pitch. They'd all gotten copies of Flim Flam. And they're like, hey, this is a great story. And they wanted to write a bigger part for Dana. They were already talking to kind of, you know, get some feelers out about certain actors. And there is one particular actor that many of you may not know, but many of you that watch, let's just say, an extremely popular Netflix series would know. His agent was interested in him playing me, and much younger than me, which I take that as a compliment. And so we think, okay, this is going to happen. And then all of a sudden, the writer's strike happened. And then everything went on pause. And that's been 3 years ago now. And so a lot of people have asked me, people that love me, and say, well, are you disappointed? I said, well, I'm disappointed. But if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. You know, I've got people that rep these things for me, and it's out there. And sure, I think it'd make a great movie. But we've been that close a couple times. And I've got some contemporaries. I've got some Mississippi writers that, you know, some of their books have been made into movies. And if I want to get down about that, I could, but I just choose not to. I choose not to do it just because of the fact that the path is the path. And it's my job to put one foot in front of the other and do the next right thing in life. And then if there comes a time that we make a movie about anything, then that's going to happen the way it's supposed to happen. And not because I've made it happen. Obviously, I've done my part. I've lived the life. I've written the book. I've attended all the meetings. And it just hadn't happened yet. And it may never happen. And you know what? If it doesn't, that's perfectly okay. That's okay. Because it's not what was intended for me. It's not like I'm just sitting around waiting for something good to happen. I'm still out here grinding every day. But I think about you and your own lives. And I think it's important to have the mindset of, you know, what is today? And that's what recovery has taught me, is to stay in today. What can I do today to make my life and the world around me better? If I want to get upset about somebody breaking my heart or treating me bad years ago or weeks ago or whatever, I can do that. You know, I have some people sometimes that just say some absolutely incredibly rude things to me. But you know what? That's like 1 in 1,000. And I have learned not to focus my energy on the one, but on the 999. You know, that's the important thing in life. It's like I was on the road at a baseball series earlier this year, and I can't even remember where it was. I think it was Baton Rouge. I think. Maybe. But anyway, that's beside the point. But I'm outside, you know, after the game, making my post-game call to the bride so we can discuss the game. And this family ran up. And I don't mean that, you know, figuratively, literally. They ran up and wanted to get a picture. And I know in that moment that's a big deal to them. And I've done it a lot of times, and that's in no way to be narcissistic or brag on that. But I know in that moment, and I give my wife a lot of credit for this, there was a time in my life I didn't want to take pictures with people. I thought it was weird. I was like, why do they want a picture with me? And she goes, babe, just smile and take the picture. And she says, you've worked for this. But also, too, you know, for those Bulldogs and readers or whatever that aren't around very often, it's a big deal to them. And so I smile and take the picture. And I have learned to be very gracious in those, but also very grateful in those moments. Because there was a time in my life that nobody wanted my picture, ever. So thank you for that. All right, moving forward. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. An absolute Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. They have all the things that I need. And most of the things that I want. And I want new Mississippi State merch regularly. So do all the Bulldog fans in your life, right? Whether it be apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town to enjoy their smiling faces, you can visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That'll get you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's take a quick look at the basketball day that was. Really good day for Chris Jans. And the Mississippi State men's basketball program. And again, we talk about it like all the negative news comes first, right? All the outgoing traffic and then like players that you love or that you enjoy cheering for, well, that you know, they've moved on, right? They've moved on, and it's difficult to see all that, you know? I guess in some ways, not the same thing, but I guess in some ways it's kind of like, you know, you see an ex-girlfriend move on and date somebody else, and you start thinking, well, maybe I didn't mean that much to her. And you know what? Maybe you didn't. And that's okay, too, you know. And I think in those moments, too, we're really just kind of more upset with ourselves. We just thought we knew more, you know. But nevertheless, we had some people that chose us yesterday. So kind of, you know, getting up to speed here. You know, Kanye Clare, he's headed to Oklahoma State. Michael Nwoko, of course, to LSU. MJ Russell announced yesterday he's headed to Louisiana Monroe. Riley Kugel's going to Central Florida. And we still got a few guys out there still figuring it out. We wish them the best. You know, Jeremy, Femina, Adrian Myers. Of course, Keyshawn Murphy's headed to Auburn. You know, part of the deal, right? I mean, that's just how life works. And what stinks about that is, of course, now we got to deal with them, right? It's one thing for them to leave, and then it's another that we have to kind of have them within our conference, and we have to worry and wonder about that because they're going to know, you know, kind of how we like to do things. They won't know our personnel because all of it's changed so much. But it's kind of a double whammy, right? They leave and then they stay within our conference and will now, you know, compete against us. That kind of stuff is just not good. You know, it's just kind of part of the deal. But you know, we have had some people that said, "Hey, you know what? I want to be a Bulldog." And I'm excited about Mississippi State, what Chris Jans has done and what he's going to do. And, you know, we have such an emotional connection to all this. It's very esteeming for us because in some respects we feel like they're choosing us and choosing our family. And so it's good in that respect. And so on the men's side, again, some new additions. As we discussed last week, of course, you know, Quincy Ballard and Jabari McGee from UAB. Yesterday, Amir Ali from Arizona State and Sam Walters from Michigan announced their commitments to Mississippi State. So again, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 transfer outs, and so far you have 4 transfer ins. And of course, you've got some guys too that are coming in that were signees, and you had some guys that graduated and exhausted their eligibility. So it's going to be a very different looking team. But let's take a look and just kind of see, you know, what these players look like for us. Amir Ali, obviously, was a guy that, you know, has played around a few places, I guess. You know, he's one of these guys that very, very extensive player in the AAU circuit, you know. And so he was a name that was kind of highly thought of. Had a really good recruitment out of high school. And I think that's one of those things, too. You know, you don't know how life works with this recruiting stuff, right? You never fully know. But, you know, kind of looking back at him, you know, he was a 4-star prospect out of Queen Creek, Arizona, Canyon International Academy. And ended up moving around a little bit. That's what we talked about. Canyon International, then Monteverde, and then IMG Academy. And then settles down with Arizona State. And it's interesting. So here is the scouting report on him as a college prospect. He's a big wing with terrific positional size, smooth mobility, and a natural shooting stroke. The intersection of those three things makes him one of the most naturally talented wings in this class. He stands right around 6'8", is a fluid mover, and has an effortless release with deep range on the jumper. He's going to have extreme gravity as a floor spacer at the next level, but he's also a movement shooter who can come off various types of screening actions and make tough shots. Ali owns naturally soft hands, touch, and a relative compact release. It allows him to score over the top of smaller wings. He needs to continue to build up his body, maintain balance through contact, and develop more efficiency within his overall approach. But there aren't many other players in this class who can match his sheer tools. That's from Adam Finkelstein, director of scouting at 247 Sports. And so, yeah, I mean, you feel good about that aspect of it, right? Now, not a ton of production, you know, last year. And that's just kind of part of the deal, right? But let's go through some of that, I guess. But, you know, he had some big moments at times. But, man, he played extensively last year. Got into the postseason, you know, played a little bit, 10-3 shots. But you know, kind of just looking at the overall statistics here. 32 games played, 4 starts. And we need some wings. We do. Average 5.5 points a game. You know, pulled down about 3 boards a game. You know, so he's really just kind of breaking into, you know, what he can be. We expect him to take on a much bigger role at Mississippi State this year. Average about 19 minutes a game last year. And so, you know, we're going to need him to score a little bit more. But, you know, yeah, he did have some big games. At Arizona, scored 13 points in that game. Had 18 against Texas Tech, and that's number 12 Texas Tech in a double overtime game, 18. Scored a dozen against Oklahoma State. Had 10 against Colorado. You know, so he's a guy that's proven to have a little bit. You know, early on, you know, he had, I guess it was, who are we looking at here? Santa Clara. He got 13 points against them early in the year. And so he has it in him. And, you know, we'll see how Chris Jans can use him. But again, as I've shared many times, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Chris Jans. And I think Chris Jans will do a good job kind of reconstructing this roster. In addition, Sam Walters from Michigan also joins the program. And I know a lot of it, you guys haven't done your research. You're just kind of happy that, you know, getting some players, right? And that's an important aspect of it, too. You know, getting guys in here, and Chris Jans will know how to utilize them. But he's a 6'10", 200-pound power forward. A native of the Villages, Florida. I went to the charter school there. And, you know, landed initially at Alabama. Right? And here's the thing that I'll say about that is if Nate Oates wants a guy, and so do I. He was a composite 97.69 recruit. 247 didn't like him quite as much as the national experts did. We had him rated as a 92 and as the number 8 player out of the state of Florida, which is a basketball crazy state too, you know. Had several offers. within the SEC, goes to Alabama, and then transfers to Michigan. Now he's back in the portal again and headed to Mississippi State. And we talk about, you know, kind of having some size, having some length, making some things happen here. That's an important aspect of every bit of this. It's just, I mean, having different pieces that are a little bit different that give you the opportunity to run some different sets. At Alabama, he played 37 games, 12 minutes a game, averaged 5 points, you know, pulled down a couple boards, and then played last year just 23 games, a little bit banged up last year, pretty good free throw shooter too. We need all that we can get. Again, 5 points and about 2 boards a game, but you know, didn't play a ton down the stretch, but he'll be good to go this year. But, yeah, I mean, you know, again, Chris Jans doing some good things, making some good things happen. And I think at some point, too, you know, we feel like the burden of all this sometimes falls to us. And it shouldn't. It doesn't in any way whatsoever. But you love Mississippi State. And so as a result, you start thinking, oh, man, I just wish somebody I don't want State to lose, right? I want to support a winning program. But it's not just about us, right? It's like you start thinking, hey, I want Chris Jans to be successful. I think we have the right coach. And I'll be honest with you. I really expected him to get more interest in the offseason than he got. To come to a place that doesn't have a ton of basketball tradition, and I know that hurts some feelings, but that's the reality of it. And he's gone to tournaments three years in a row. Next year, he'll have an opportunity to tie a school record. And Jans is a guy that lives in a tournament. You know, Stansberry went 4 years in a row in the early 2000s. And so that's something you can sell, not just playing time, but, hey, you've got a coach here that knows how to get to the tournament, and he's done it at multiple places. Found a way to get things done. You come in here, this is how we see you. And, you know, we've got a very talented staff. And, you know, we need to get Hub back. We do. You know, we wanted to get Keyshawn back. That didn't work out. And, you know, that's life as we know it. And it's disappointing. It is because, you know, he wanted to leave last year. They bring him back. They make him a bigger focal point of things. They develop him. And now all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I'm going to go to Auburn. You know, I hate it, but that's the reality in which we live in. But I have a tremendous amount of faith in Chris Jans and in Sam Purcell. They are routinely taking us to the postseason. And I think it's really just a matter of time before you break loose. You know, again, we got to do a really good job in this offseason reconstructing these rosters. But I think, you know, it's something that I'm reminded of that Butch Thompson said years ago. You recruit what you want, you sign who you are. Right? Because the recruits that you go out and chase, the ones that identify with you and your core values and how you do things, those are the ones that are going to choose you too. You may go out there and offer 100 kids and say, hey, we're going to change our culture and change the way we do things. But the players that are going to pick you over and over and over again are going to be players that have seen your body of work and say, yeah, that fits me. Now, you can go out there and say, hey, we're just going to change how we do it. We're going to recruit a different brand of athlete. And it didn't always work out that way because they're going to say, well, hey, look at his body of work. Look at what they've always done. I don't fit there. No, we're going to change. We're going to change. Well, people aren't going to be willing to take that. So, again, you recruit what you want, but you sign who you are. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should, right? We say it all the time. We don't get together enough. Well, you know, rather than just say it again, let's just don't say it. Let's do it. Get everybody together. And what a fabulous place to stay. We've stayed there. We had a great time there for New Year's. Watch a lot of football, spend some time out there around the fire pit area. We use that full-service kitchen. We did. You will, too. I didn't use the wet bar. You may. It's there for your convenience. That back porch area is fabulous. Just kind of sit out there and spend some time with the ones you love, kind of watch the sunset. It's great. It's 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, out past the Highlands, very easy to get to. You can do your tailgating right then and there. It's like going home, right? Except you got more to work with. And how many times have you said, you know what, I need to get all my former college friends together. This is a great chance to do it. Let your kids play together. maybe get all the family together. I know for us, it was so rewarding having everybody under one roof. You know, you can stay up late, you know, have a good time, you know. You don't have anywhere to be. You know what I'm saying? I mean, your schedule kind of works around the Mississippi State schedule. Maybe you got some midweek vacation time you need to use. Why not come up here and enjoy the better part of Starkville? And maybe not even a ballgame weekend. You know, it's open year-round, 365 days a year. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page is going to auto-populate, and you can roll through and see all the amenities available to you and your guest. In addition to that, you're going to have some booking options. And you can go through Airbnb or VRBO. That's completely up to you. But if you want to save some money, and I think you do, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10, to get 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, you're saving money on the premier place to bring a large group of people to town. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, no doubt, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay, Mississippi State is going to host some official visitors this weekend. One of the names that you may be somewhat familiar with, Jaquan Bolden, a product of Canton, Mississippi, went the JUCO route, was at Gulf Coast for a couple of years. We thought we were going to get him, and then things got a little bit crazy late. And Marcus Johnson beat us, offensive line coach at Purdue, and now he's in the portal. And so he's another guy looking to get back closer to home. He's got another year of eligibility left. We need some size. We need some tackles. We need some guys to go out there and move the pile a bit. And it's a shame that we're in this position now, that we couldn't really address those needs in December and those guys have the full benefit of spring practice. We found some interior guys in December, but not so much tackles. So tackles are a priority, as are tight ends. And we got a couple of tight ends coming in this weekend, too, as you guys have probably read by now. Former Indiana tight end Sam West, who is a redshirt freshman, have 3 years of eligibility left. Those are two of our four visitors this weekend. To get the full list, head on over to jeanspage.com. Wrote about them in the Friday Bones today, reading more about them, kind of how things stand with them. But again, kind of like in basketball, the outgoing traffic goes first. But we're going to have some more outgoing traffic next week. There's a lot of guys that want to get some spring game tape, and then they'll go in. And we are overcommitted right now and still have some needs to meet. So what that means is some scholarship spots are going to open up. You're going to have some guys that – and you've already seen a couple that came in December that not going to make the team. And so they're back in the portal looking for another place to go and further their education, and we wish them the best. We appreciate them coming in and giving Mississippi State an opportunity and giving us their best. One of those, Mason Clinton, already signed with Southern Miss, and great young man from down in Hattiesburg, went to Peddle High School, and so it makes a lot of sense. You know, and he's a guy, too, that they need some size on the line down there. We'll probably see him in week one, and that's okay, you know. I think we'll be able to handle things against him. But you never wish – I don't wish ill on any of these young men or women that leave us. You know, I know there's a lot of people upset about the DePresha Poe thing, and I get that aspect of it too. You know, Maya Taylor did the same thing. Went to Portal, went to Ole Miss. Now she's on the coaching staff. And people feel like it's some sense of betrayal. I understand that, but it's never anything personal. It's tough not to take it all personal, but it's part of the deal. But, yeah, you'll have some more guys go in the portal early next week. And go ahead, I'm telling you now, and this is where I need your help, in these Facebook groups, because some of these Facebook groups, people are just, you know. Sometimes I just want to say, do you even Mississippi State, bro? I mean, do you keep up at all? You just react to headlines, you know. And I hate to make anybody feel silly, but a lot of people do that to themselves. Yeah, they're not as astute, I guess, in the goings-on at Mississippi State as many of you are. And then they react emotionally. Like, what's going on? What, did you not realize he's got any play last year? You know, he wants to go somewhere he can play. We've recruited over him. He hadn't developed the rate that we wanted. You know, and so if he can't help us, we owe him the opportunity to go help somebody else. That's how it works. You know, we don't have an unlimited amount of scholarships to work with. And so should be a big football recruiting weekend for us. You know, we haven't pushed for a lot of commitments here in the springtime. official visits for high school players will begin here in about 5 or 6 weeks. And business will pick up there. But, yeah, you're going to have some portal commitments here in the next, few weeks. You could have some, Sunday, because guys are going to get here tonight and they'll spend all day Saturday. And some of them make their way home Saturday night, some on Sunday. But, yeah, you could have some good news about some players before we get together again. And so we'll keep you updated on all the comings and goings at jeanspage.com. Saturday is going to be a very busy day for us. A lot of that content will be free, as you guys are aware. All of our spring game coverage will be free, as will our baseball stuff. But, we think we're going to have probably end up having 14, 15 stories today and probably that many tomorrow too. And, again, the game coverage will be free. So you feel free, whether you're a subscriber or not, to just mosey on over to jeanspage.com and find out how the spring game went. We'll have free videos of post-practice of players, coaches, Coach Levy, and then some of the players kind of talking about how things went, what they need to work on in the offseason. And that'll be all the football for a while. We get into fall camp, and that'll be here. We call it fall camp. It's really just preseason camp because it happens in the summer. And then we'll be kind of full recruiting mode for a while on the football side as we try to shore up a few spots. But, again, understand in order for new players to come in, there's some existing players that have to go out. And it's not a reflection of Mississippi State. It's not a personal criticism of Jeff Labby, and certainly not a personal criticism of you. But I understand it all comes from a good place. You want Mississippi State to win, as do I. So be sure and check us out all weekend over at jeanspage.com. We will be giving you full and comprehensive coverage of the full weekend. And next week will be interesting, too. We head down to Pearl to play Ole Miss in the Governor's game, and then we'll head over to Auburn and all of our credential requests for that have already been handled, and our traveling plans, everything's been taken care of. And, when the Bulldogs leave town, so do we. And that's an important aspect of this for us. We try to get out there and give you guys coverage that's never been seen before. And every time I turn around, I feel like we're doing something else, And, wake-up content deprived, got to find a way to satisfy that need. But if you love Mississippi State as much as we do, you should be with us over at jeanspage.com. Again, 50% off the annual subscription rate. Encourage you again, come float at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. It's not like floating in your pool, nothing like that at all, other than the fact that you get wet. But it's been the best thing I've ever done for my own anxiety. If you've got chronic pain or anxiety, or maybe you just need a break. Yeah, maybe you just need a break. True Rest can work for you, we believe. We may be able to help you with some of those issues. But a lot of times, whether you don't have anything going on anyway, you just need to get a break for yourself and kind of get a mental reset. That's a great thing, too. We have a lot of student-athletes that use our business and a lot of locals. And a lot of people just come in when they're coming to town to come support us, but also, too, to kind of give it a try. And I think that it's probably something that could improve the quality of your life. It certainly has for me. It's been my experience. So dial 662-268-7601, and you can speak directly to my wife, Dana, and she will give you all the information you need. And visit DutyNobleBook.com. You can get signed copies of all my sports titles there. Again, Father's Day's coming up. Be thinking about that. Mother's Day, too. Some holidays coming up, and maybe you're thinking, hey, what's the best gift to give to a Mississippi State fan? Well, that's it. Signed copies of the sports titles. It's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile. When the Bottom Falls, not a sports book, but something I think you'll enjoy. And, of course, The Dude. And The Dude's been nominated for some cool awards, and we'll find out next month. It'd be great. Maybe the kid may win something, right? But, again, we have replenished our vendors here in town. So if you're in town this weekend for the spring game in the Florida series, be sure and pick up copies at our local vendors. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.